Hey everyone, it's Friday, September 11th, 2020. Welcome to episode 28 of the Ginger and the Beard podcast. I'm AJ, aka the Ginger.
And I'm Reese, aka the Beard.
On this week's show, we'll be drinking delicious craft beers voted on by our audience, covering a lot of news in the UFC world, including Conor McGregor's surprise US ADA test and Bose's new sunglasses with speakers.
We'll also be talking about leaks of the Oculus Quest 2, free games from Epic Games, the announcement of the Xbox Series S, and a new way for you to drink and enjoy your beer. And we're back. Guys, before we jump into tonight's episode, we do want to acknowledge that today is the 19th anniversary of 9/11.
Yes, so just really quick want to say to anyone out there who was personally affected by that tragedy, our thoughts go out to you and your families. My wife and I actually went and visited New York City earlier this year for an anniversary trip, and went to the 9/11 memorial, and it's kind of hard to fathom, honestly, the number of lives lost that day. The memorial they have set up there has names of people who lost their lives, and it's terrible, man. It's terrible. So again, you know, anybody who's you know, dealing with that today, we're definitely thinking about you.
Yeah, definitely, our hearts go out to you guys. It's such a tragedy. It's really crazy. I mean, I remember, man, I was like so young. It was really, you and I were, you know, both very young when it happened. And it was the first really crazy thing that ever happened during my lifetime. And, yep, you know, really a lot of people's lifetimes, but, just, you know, being, I was like 12 years old, dude. I was like 12 years old, just sitting in like study hall, and that all came on. And It was, you know, personally for me, was really crazy, but for the folks that were near Ground Zero and had family, lost family, had family that, you know, suffered impacts, you know, our hearts go out to you guys, and hopefully that time goes on, have gotten better, and some of those old wounds have healed a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a tough day for sure.
Yeah, man.
But I'm excited to be here recording an episode. Before we get into our topics, man, how's your week been?
Pretty good. Pretty good, man. I've been doing some really crazy stuff, only eating fresh vegetables this whole week. pretty much up until today, I had some sausage, which was nice. And going to be having a beer soon, which is really nice. But besides that, our vegetables... I don't know if I told you, but our vegetables went bad, so we got to get rid of those guys, sadly. On a positive note, here we are. Things are great, and I can't wait for this weekend, because good things are coming this weekend. I'm not sure what they are, but they're going to be good, darn it.
You feel it? You feel it in your bones?
I feel it.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I want to know, how do you feel after a week-long diet of eating just raw vegetables and nuts?
Feel pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, it was to be honest, I lost 7 pounds.
What?
Yeah,
dude, that's awesome, man. Congrats.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
In 1 week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually like 4 days from the point that I weighed myself the first time to like when I weighed myself yesterday. It was 7 pounds. So I mean, that's like pretty crazy.
That's insane, man. That's,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel pretty good. I think that, as I go, I'll keep feeling better. Cause I've had a lot of headaches from like withdrawal from like,
yeah,
food addiction. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah. Like sugar and food addiction has caused me to have like multiple headaches, and like stomach acid and stuff. Like, so I wouldn't say that I feel great just yet. I think I'm going through like withdrawal, but I will feel good soon.
So is the plan to keep it up? Are you guys going to keep doing that?
No.
Like with add in some things, but add some things back?
No. Well, the second part. It's not going to be just fresh fruits and vegetables every day. That was just like a hard reset. Now it's just going to be like a lot of fruits and vegetables, but also eating like meat, but like, you know, fresh meat, good stuff. I got that grill suck. I got that grill going, bro.
Oh man.
Out there grilling every day.
Grilled veggies. That's where it's at.
Yeah. I grilled some green onions today. Don't do that.
I'm trying to think how that works out. Did they just shrivel up and turn into like little crispy straws?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, not a good idea. Don't do that.
Stick to the white onions.
Yeah, those are easier. So how about you, man? How's your week going?
Good. So I have not been doing a raw fruit and vegetable diet, but I mentioned on Tuesday's weigh-ins episode that on Wednesday I would be going to the gym with my buddy Zach as part of my 30 days of birthday surprises for my wife. So I had been saying I want to go to the gym forever. He goes to a gym here nearby the house, and he's a big dude. You've met him before. So I was a little intimidated at first, but going in there, everybody's super nice, and my arms are completely dead.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, like I don't know, we did like biceps and back the first day, and today we did chest and triceps, which is fine. Like I don't feel the soreness of the chest yet. I know it'll hit me tomorrow. But the worst part, the hardest part, is that he has to be at work super early in the morning. So he goes to the gym even earlier. So I've been waking up at 4:30.
Bro. What?
I woke up at 4:30 on Wednesday and this morning. Mind you guys, it's currently 10 o'clock our time. So how many ever hours that works out to, I've been awake. And I'm going to be awake for a few more hours playing some games after this episode is done. But yeah, that's super early.
You're going to be awake for like 20 hours minimum.
Yes.
Maybe you might be awake for more than that if you stay up. Dude, you might be awake for 24 hours tonight.
I should just pull 24 hours just to say I did it.
Just to
and
say.
And I'll just be ruined all day tomorrow.
Yeah. No function at all tomorrow. Yeah. Man.
Ooh. But it was good, man. I enjoyed it. You know, I'm not a big guy by any means, but it's just cool to work out and feels good. You know, the rest of your day, you feel like you accomplished something. It's like what they say, that like, you should get out of the bed. When you get out of the bed in the morning, you should make your bed, because that's immediately something you can check off your mental checklist first thing in the morning. And it just puts you at like, you're one foot ahead of the next. You know what I mean? Like sets you in the right direction for the rest of the day. Like you've already checked something off your list mentally. So I don't make my bed most mornings, but going to the gym feels like a checklist item, you know, it's cool.
There you go. Yeah, man. So mine's waking up and drinking 16 ounces of water.
Nice.
That's like my goal. Get up, drink a ton of water.
Nice. That's definitely good for the body too.
And
for sure.
Coffee. But dude, in like a couple months from now, you're going to be like jacked, bro.
I'm going to be swole, just completely swole. I'm going to be sitting here like this.
Be looking like
I can't even like touch the microphone.
Oh man. Dude, you'll be like Thor out here, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The steroids I'm taking are probably going to help too.
Whoa, hey, calm down. Sucker's gonna look.
I'll be out here looking like Paulo Costa.
Yeah, oh my gosh, dude. That would be crazy. Be like, what the heck? Next thing you'll be fighting. You fighting Izzy?
Yeah, definitely.
Israel
it's
on
in
Asanya.
My future.
There,
I'm not too old yet. I'm only 30.
Yeah. Yeah, you got time. You got time.
I got time to learn how to punch.
Dude, you're in your prime right now, man. You can go fight right now.
I'm in tip top shape at the moment.
Lift weights for a week, you're good.
Yep. Golden.
All right, guys. So I want to just do a quick reminder to everybody to go ahead and follow our show here on Twitch, like and subscribe on YouTube, and also subscribe on your favorite podcast player. And if you really want to help us grow, share this episode with a friend. As always, we appreciate your support and we're glad you guys are here. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you guys so much.
Ready to talk about what we're drinking?
Let's do that, man.
All right. Be right back, guys. All right, guys, we're back. What you drinking, man? Tell me what you drinking.
I will tell you, I want to give a quick shout out to our voters here, but of course I was not prepared. So I'm currently pulling up the polls to see where we landed officially. So I'm going to continue to stall while I do that.
And if you like stalling, then you'll probably like drinking beers, because that's what you do when you drink beers. You just sit around and chill.
That's a good point. That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
All right. So for...
No, nothing.
Oh, you're just trying to stall for me.
Yeah.
All right. So for this week, I was between two. I was actually surprised at the winner for this one. I thought for sure that it would be the Tradition Brewing Small Batch Series Ghost Pepper Lager. It was between that and the Wapatuli, from Commonwealth Brewing. Both of these are actually local to Hampton Roads. Commonwealth is in Virginia Beach, and Tradition Brewing, I believe, is in Newport News. I might have to double check that. But the Wapatuli from Commonwealth Brewing won out the polls 55% to 45%. Trying to get that to focus in there. Probably not going to work. Who cares?
I believe you.
Yeah, you guys just have to trust me on that one. But I was honestly surprised. I thought the audience was going to say, let's light this guy up and get him a ghost pepper lager. Let's see how that goes on stream. So maybe it's better that I drink that one in solitude. So if I wimp out, I'm not embarrassing myself.
Dude, full disclosure, I went to vote and I clicked the wrong one.
No!
And I accidentally clicked the fire one, but I wanted this one to win anyway, so great.
There you go.
But do you like pepper beers?
I've only tried one other one, and it was at Maker's Craft Brewery, which is also it's in Norfolk. And they had a ghost pepper stout, I believe, or it may have been a porter. I can't remember. And that was pretty good. Like, you didn't get a lot of the heat until like it was on the back end, so you could feel it in your throat. But not a lot on the front. And so it was kind of cool. It was an interesting, I don't know that I could drink an entire glass of it. I sampled it at Maker's Craft Brewery. I actually included that one in my flight, I believe, that I ordered, but I don't think I could drink, you know, 16 ounces of that. So I was interested in seeing how this Tradition Brewing one compared, but I guess I'll save that for another day. So the Wapatuli is a tropical IPA, again, from Commonwealth Brewing here in Virginia Beach. It's 7.3% ABV. Oh, wow. I'll just pop that open. It's just filled to the very top. Here we go.
Nice. That's how you know they're looking out for you. Give this guy all the beer, all the way to the top.
That's a lot of head on that sucker.
Yeah, man. Wow.
You have to let that settle down for a second. I'd pour maybe half the can.
Whoops.
So right off the bat, it's a tropical IPA. The description here on the website is it's a tropical blonde wheat IPA delivering a sweet pineapple mango nose with island flavors courtesy of a carefully selected house yeast strain. Man, that head's not going away anytime soon.
Nope.
I might have to just power through it.
Yeah, man. Take one for the team.
Come out with some foam in my nose here.
There you go. Not so bad.
That's really good.
Cool.
I've had this beer actually about like 4 or 5 years ago. When the brewery had like recently opened up, the company I worked with went there for a Christmas party. We had our Christmas party hosted there. And I remember having this beer, and it's very good. So right off the bat, when you smell it, I get that mango. I don't really get the pineapple so much, but the mango I definitely get with the aroma. But then taking that first sip, I do get a lot of the sweet pineapple. It was interesting. I read a lot of reviews about this, and not a lot of people were describing it as sweet. So I'm happily surprised with this one.
I didn't realize that. I learned something today about hazy beers. It just means that they weren't filtered.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This one's not super, super hazy, but definitely a little haze there. Really good mouthfeel. The one I had last week had that kind of soapy texture. The head on this one kind of gives that soapy sort of vibe too, but it doesn't last very long in my mouth, which is good.
Okay.
And a nice bitter aftertaste too. It's not very bitter up front, but you definitely get it. You know, that aftertaste lingers. I'm personally a fan of the lingering bitter aftertaste.
I like that with my coffee usually. Bitter aftertaste for some reason.
I'm the exact opposite when it comes to coffee, actually.
That's so weird.
But yeah, so I'm going to try to pour a little bit more of this here. But I was doing some, when I saw the description said that they have a specially selected house. Uh-oh.
Oh, there's more of it.
Yeah, I don't know why that's so heady. That's kind of crazy. I
guess that's what happens when they fill it to the brim. I don't know.
I didn't read anything about that happening. So I wonder if there was like something in the canning process that caused that to happen. But anyways, they say that they a carefully selected house yeast strain. So that prompted me to do a little bit of research. And I'm just curious, you know, what happens if you choose different types of yeast for your beer? How does that affect the flavor profile? And it turns out that yeast is actually responsible for about 80% of the flavor of your beer. So depending on which type of yeast is chosen within the fermenting process, you get a completely different flavor profile. So some yeasts ferment cleaner, quote unquote, air quotes, than others, which basically means they don't add much taste at all on their own. So really brings forward those hop aromas and those hop flavors. but other yeasts will bring out fruity or spicy flavors depending on like their origin. So I couldn't really find much description about like what type of yeast they were using in this or hops and things like that, but definitely tons of fruit, tons of head on that, but tons of fruit flavors, very tropical as it's described, very nice mango aroma, very nice pineapple sweet taste with that bitter finish. So I highly recommend this one. It's been around for a few years, so if you haven't checked it out yet, you're local to Hampton Roads, definitely swing by Commonwealth, pick one of those up, or you can find it. I found this in Total Wine. I think they have them in Wegman. So definitely out there. Go pick it up.
Nice, dude. Awesome.
How about you, man? Let's see what did the audience pick for you today, sir?
Well, sir, we had an interesting question for the audience today, and it was, is it time for us to move on to the harvest beers and the pumpkins and the fall selection, or are we sticking with summer for a little bit longer? Are we holding on for dear life? You know, getting as much out of it as we can since COVID took everything from us. And the voters have spoken. 60% said, hey, we're sticking with summer. We don't want fall yet. Right. And the other 40% said, you know what? Let's just get this year over with, dude. Let's move it along, man.
Let's just move it along. Keep it moving.
2020 was a wreck, man. I said at the beginning of this year, 2020 was the year of perfect vision. It has been everything but. Everything, it was the opposite. I should have never said that. Anyway, guys, here it is. Tropical Hazy Sour Ale. I like the can. Pretty cool. Kind of basic.
Nice can.
But, you know, it pops out the color choices that the color scheme really works out. So, guys, it is Tropical Hazy Sour by Anderson Valley. It's a wild ale, 4.3% ABV. Give this sucker a pour. They used real guava and passion fruit. You know, let's slow it down a little bit. Cause,
got another head.
Yeah, man.
That's a lot.
Yeah, here. Let's just nice. Just tap it in. Just tap it in. Here we go. Okay, we're good.
Oh, yeah.
We're good. We're in the clear now. Doing good things. Okay. Okay. Well, kind of a rough end there. But
what's going on with our beers tonight?
I don't know. So this one is marketed as a hazy beer. And it's a little hazy, but certainly not as hazy as an IPA, I would say.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. It
smells good. They use real guava and passion fruit during fermentation, and they left it hazy for more aroma. So it does have a nice aroma. It's got that little bit of a sour aroma with a little bit of fruitiness in there. You can almost kind of smell the guava in it. But yeah, it definitely smells like a wild ale, a wild sour ale, of course. So they use the kettle souring method, guys. AJ, do you know what the kettle souring method was? Is?
I do not, but I bet you're going to tell me.
I'm going to tell you because I didn't know either. But I learned and I want to share this information. So basically, yeah. Kettle souring means instead of a traditional mash, kettle sours undergo a sour mash. So basically, instead of boiling the beer, and then cooling it to ready it for yeast, the liquid is boiled, cooled, and lacto-dosed, and then the wort mixture chills, just, you know, hangs out. What's up, bro? Chills for a few days in the kettle while the liquid sours. So, basically, instead of boiling it and cooling it off immediately, they boil it, and then they let it chill. And then they do the rest.
Okay.
Pretty cool, right? Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, lacto-dosed. So they're adding lactose?
Yeah. Yes, which I think is like a common practice happening a lot now these days. I've seen a lot of it, but I didn't realize what they were doing. So that's what it is.
Cool, man.
I got to look that up, actually. You know what? I got to figure out exactly what they mean by lacto-dose. I'm assuming it just... I'll figure it out. Next episode. Anyway,
there you go.
Let's go ahead and let's give this sucker a sip. Oh, that's interesting. Huh. So like when it touched my lips, I got the sour immediately. But then it was like a very weird, like very cool, very cooling, cool kind of taste to it. It had a really like sip it again. Yeah, that's really cool, man. That's really cool.
It's cool.
I wish you
it's
could. Cool, no. Like, feeling. It makes me feel cold. Like,
weird.
Beyond, like, it's a cold beer. I get that. But, like, when I sip it, it has, like, a cooling effect. Like, a different. I might be losing my mind.
It may put some menthol in there.
No, it's definitely not menthol. I don't know what it is. It's definitely sweet. It's the sweetness of it. It's definitely fruity, tropical. But it's got this like weird kind of like this is something, dude, that I feel like I would definitely need to drink during the summertime, because you could just go mow the lawn and then drink one of these and you'd be like, oh man, it's kind of cold out here.
You're
yeah,
really
man,
onto something with that.
I actually like this a lot, and it's super easy to drink. It's super easy to drink for being a sour. This is another one of those like entry level sours, but it's got like this, special, can't describe it, man. It's got this like special thing going on here. I'm not sure how to describe
special
it.
Special thing. I can see that on quotation marks on their website.
Special thing.
It's got that special thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I got a little bit of like a metallic taste on that right there, but yeah, man, definitely fruity, sour, tropical. They did a good job.
Very nice. Awesome, that's, man. Well, Anderson Valley, that's cool. I do wonder why they chose a beer for the can.
A bear?
For a bear, yeah. Isn't it a bear?
Yeah, it's a bear with like antlers?
With antlers.
Is it a bear? Yeah, it's a bear with antlers, dude.
Oh wait, bear plus deer equals beer?
Whoa. Explosions. It's a bear deer beer. Bear deer beer.
A bear deer
it's
beer.
It's a better beer. Anyway.
It's tropical.
It is.
It's a bear in the tropics.
You're not going to find this bear anywhere but the tropics, son.
Someone's going to leave a comment on YouTube and it's like, you guys don't know what the bear deer is? You've never seen the bear deer?
Never seen Come the on. Bear deer? You've you seen idiots. The unicorn, then you've had to see the bear deer. Oh, man. I got a bit of news, though. I got a bit of news to share. Pour My Beer secures a major investment from Coca-Cola and affiliates for their self-serve beverage technology. So if you never heard of Pour My Beer, basically it enables consumers to pour their own beverages and increase efficiencies for the hospitality industry. So let me just walk this through you, right? So like I was actually at one of these when I was in Ohio one time, and
okay.
I don't think it was this company, but it was the same concept where like you walk in, they give you a card, and yep. then you know, that card basically will have like $15 loaded onto it, and then you go swipe it at this tap wall. Basically, it's just a wall of taps with a notepad, not a notepad, but like an iPad kind of associated with every beer. So like the iPad will just like tell you what the beer is about, what its name is, you know, where it's from, the company, ABV, all that stuff. And then you just tap your card onto the screen. Screen will turn, you know, like a little green light will go on, and then you can start pouring your beer. So you know, you can go reload your card or whatever you got to do, but when you go to leave, you just pay off your card right there. And there's no bartenders. There's really, it's like you just walk in, you drink your beer, the beer that you want. You got, you maybe stand in line for like 30 seconds, but that's nothing.
Yeah.
And so you know, I guess, first off, what do you think about that?
It's an interesting concept for sure. And actually, it's interesting that we're talking about this because a new brewery actually just opened up in Norfolk called Cova Brewing Company. And that's exactly the concept. And it's like, I think that's the first of its kind in this area, where it's exactly what you just described. You pour your own beer. And of course, they launched in the midst of coronavirus. So it's kind of an off-putting idea for a lot of people to go and touch a bunch of handles that everybody else has been touching.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd have to experience it to like really give a good judgment, but I'm just trying to like picture myself going in and pouring my own beer. It is convenient from the time saving and not having to wait in line perspective. You know, you go to some breweries and the line's backed up, like,
right,
you know, throughout the place, and you got to wait forever. So that would be cool. But also, beer tenders have a way of pouring beer like the proper way from a tap.
Right.
And they know what they're doing depending on what type of beer it is. You know, we all do the 45 angle and then turn it up after it reaches a certain point of the glass. But that's not always the actual right strategy depending on the beer. So, like, I don't know. Maybe I think it's cool. It's a cool concept. I would definitely try it out.
Well, I forgot to mention that. We only had plastic cups. So there's a whole nother level. When you're drinking out of a glass, dude, I don't know what it is. It's a different experience, right?
Because, yeah.
Like, I think beer is like you're supposed to drink it out of a glass. It's not supposed to be out of a can or out of a plastic for sure.
Well, even beyond that, like different types of beers are supposed to be in different types of glasses. Like if you're a real beer connoisseur, which I don't think we've reached that level yet, considering we use the same ginger in the beer beer glass for no matter what it is. I'll put milk in this. I don't care.
Milk. Yes.
You know, so some people are very particular about that kind of thing, but plastic cups.
I
don't know about that. That's kind of like,
no, it wasn't. Beer.
Yeah,
it wasn't cool. It was a no-no. But anyway, so basically this company Pour My Beer got this investment from Coca-Cola European Partners, who has since acquired 25% stake in Innovative Tap Solutions, which is basically they're just the company that's doing business as Pour My Beer. And so this Pour My Beer, I just saw it up as a topic and I thought it was interesting, but it's not going to be in America. It's being introduced in, well, it's not going to be in America yet. It's going to be in Western Europe, beginning with a trial in Spain. So it's like, it's already here. So we don't need a trial here, but maybe it's just because it's a new thing and they're trying to get the word out. So they're acting like nobody's ever done this before, or I'm not sure what that is, but it's totally a thing that people have done.
Yeah.
But during the coronavirus, like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's, you know,
kind of a weird concept.
You gotta wear gloves or something. I don't know. Be weird.
Yeah, or there's like tap handle condoms.
Oh, Jesus. That's a weird thought.
It is a weird thought. But, you know, it's like a plastic sleeve you take off every time.
I know what it looks like. I know what it looks like. Not my first radio.
Oh, man. That's too good.
Oh, geez. All right, let's talk about people punching each other in the face.
Let's do that.
All right. Be right back. We're back. Oh, my gosh, man. Ooh. Who's punching somebody in the face, man? It's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you who's not punching people in the face. That's Dustin Poirier. So our top story here in the UFC shenanigans section, top story, I'm not sure if it's like the most important, but literally is the top of the list in the section in our show notes document, being fully transparent. Okay, so UFC 254, headlined by Khabib and Justin Gaethje. I don't know that there is a date solidified. Is it 26th? September 26th, I think? I can't remember for sure. I think that's what it is. You can fact check me, but so we know who the headliner was. They were talking about the co-main potentially being Dustin Poirier versus Tony Ferguson, which, wow, that would be a hell of a fight. And it was looking pretty solid, but the news came out yesterday that Dustin Poirier could not come to terms with the UFC for the fight, so he will not be at this point, unless something changes between now and then, which is definitely possible, will not be fighting against Tony Ferguson. Not sure yet if Tony will get a replacement fighter or if he will fight at all on that card. At this point, we're like 3 weeks out, so it seems like a kind of a last-minute decision regardless. Usually people know about their fights pretty far in advance, so especially guys of that caliber. But Dustin basically came out and said that, you know, he couldn't come to terms. They didn't want to pay him what he wanted to be paid. Such is the story of the UFC at the moment.
Yeah.
And he made the point that he's a prize fighter and the prize has to be right in order for him to fight. I don't blame him for that. I mean, Absolutely. He's definitely a title contender, as is Tony Ferguson. Right. So why should they fight for any less than they expect to be paid?
Exactly, dude. That's how this should be going. They should all be standing up for their rights to get paid more because nothing's going to change. It's on October 24th, by the way. I looked it up.
October 24th. Okay, so that's a little bit further out than I was expecting. But I was just watching. We're going to talk about the NFL a little bit later in the show, but I was watching the first game of the NFL last night, and it was the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs. And so the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, whose name is slipping my mind right now, which is embarrassing. I can picture his face, but regardless, doesn't matter. he's just signed a new agreement with the Chiefs, a 10-year contract for $450 million.
So, wow.
What is that, $45 million a year? I'm not great at math.
Who cares? It's a lot. I just want it. That's it.
And I think it was 150 guaranteed. So I think even if he doesn't play the extent of his contract, so he gets traded next year, let's just say, he gets $150 million no matter what.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, I don't know why I had a brain fart there.
Dude.
Patrick Mahomes.
Why couldn't I have been born better?
Damn it, Mom. I need better genes.
Man. That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy, crazy, right? So it's, I mean, we talked about this kind of at length on Tuesday with our weigh-ins episode that the guys are not getting paid as much as other athletes, you know, performing at that level. But anyways, you know, hopefully they do make that fight because I think Dustin Poirier versus Tony Ferguson would be a hell of a fight. I mean, I'm not even sure. It'd be kind of tough to call who would even win that one, but I would love to watch it.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
All right. So moving on from that story, we talked about Khamzat Chimaev. I hope I'm saying that right. Probably not. We talked about him on Tuesday, and I think we even talked about him last week. So one thing we haven't talked about, though, we talked about that he's got a fight coming up with Damian Maia. But we didn't talk about this whole controversy around him being double booked. So he's the only fighter in recent memory, at least, who's been double booked. He's got a fight coming up with Gerald Meerschaert. Not sure if I'm saying that right. Probably not. If I am, I'm sorry your last name has the word Shart in it.
No.
But, you know, not my problem. Gerald Meerschaert. Anyways, he's got that fight.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
That fight's coming up this weekend. I think it's either this weekend or next weekend.
I don't think it's this weekend because, like, wouldn't it be on the main card? Wouldn't this be on the main card by now?
It might be coming up next weekend. It might be on the Woodley card.
Oh, good. At least we'll have something to watch that night.
Oh,
shots fired.
It is on the Woodley fight. It is on the Woodley card.
Okay. Man,
Donald Cowboy Cerrone's fighting on that card. I didn't even realize that.
Oh, man, that's cool. Can't wait to watch that.
Yeah,
card.
That's against Nico Price. Damn, dude, they're setting him up for failure.
Who, Nico?
No, they're setting Cowboy up for failure against Nico Price.
Yeah.
I feel like. Anyways, I digress. So the controversy is the fact that he's got this fight coming up with Gerald Meerschaert, but he's already been booked for a fight with Damian Maia not long after that. That does not traditionally happen. Usually it's you get booked for a fight at a time. If you win the fight, then they go on and talk about negotiations for your next fight. So I'm curious, what do you think about that?
I think that he's like a real go-getter and Dana loves it. And Dana's trying to just get this guy. I feel like he's just trying to get this guy fighting because this guy just wants to murder people. And, yeah. You know, I think that's the kind of, you know, spirit you got to have. So, I mean, he's been just dominating people. He's fun to watch because he's so dominant.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think Dana's like, dude, this guy's crazy. Let's get him up. Let's promote this guy. Let's get him fighting all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So Dana White's like, you know, he's saying, oh, man, this guy's going to make us some money. Let's get him going. So that's probably all it is. I mean, I think it'd be crazy if he like gets his ass whooped though. Like, you know,
I'll shut that down real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Is he still gonna be double booked after that, or is he gonna have to like cancel? Like, what if he breaks his leg or something? I don't know. It's weird.
I was reading up on this, and I think that, yeah, good point. If he gets injured, but I think that what Dana has said is if he loses the fight, then they'll have to, you know, discuss what happens next. But yeah, I mean, he basically came out and said exactly what you just said. Like, this guy, you know, he wants to fight. He's aggressively looking for fights. He's the same guy that recently came out, won two fights back to back within 10 days of each other. So he wants to be active. So Dana wants to promote that. So he's like, he basically said, you know, he's gonna try this out, play this game with this guy, and see how it goes. So Gerald, doesn't matter.
Gerald, hey Gerald, Meerschaert.
Meerschaert. Gerald Meerschaert. Anyways,
dude, that card looks so good. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say he feels a little bit disrespected by the fact that. That Khamzat has already been booked for the next fight, basically saying that they're assuming he's going to lose the fight.
Oh yeah,
so,
of course.
You know, probably add some fuel to his fire, and that should be a good match. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, if he loses, imagine how much of like a shit feeling that is. They thought you were going to lose, and then you do lose, and it's like, yeah, you know what? I guess I got to work harder. But anyway, dude, this card looks amazing. Colby versus Tyrone, Donald versus Nico, Shemaev versus Meerschaert, Johnny Walker versus Ryan Spann, Mackenzie Dern versus Ronda Marcos, dude. This is such I like this. This is like the up-and-comers card, basically.
Yeah, that's a pretty stacked fight night for sure. That's a great fight night.
Yeah, man. Love that.
Like, a few of these fights could definitely... I mean, Cowboy... could absolutely be on a pay-per-view. Always, he's always on a pay-per-view.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Johnny Walker obviously's got a ton of hype behind him.
Yep.
So moving on from that, I know that we have our weigh-ins, you know, next week. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll be talking a little bit more in depth about some of these things. But really funny story here. I'm not sure if you saw this news today. Conor McGregor is officially still in the USADA pool, still being tested, still reporting as an active UFC fighter. He posted, I wish I had this image prepared, but he posted a picture on Instagram. USADA showed up at his yacht in Monaco while he's on like vacation in Monaco with testing supplies.
What?
So yeah, this dude's on his yacht. I'm picturing in my head these dudes dressed in like Men in Black suits with sunglasses and like mind erasers.
Yeah.
And just like walking up in like a squad of people, like knocking on, do you knock on a door of a yacht? I don't know. How does that work? But basically like, I'm here to see Mr. McGregor, and they just drop off a cardboard box full of like cups you have to piss in.
Nah, they're, oh my gosh. They have to like walk down the pier, and like somehow they got access to the pier, which is like really weird. Cause I feel like, dude, Monaco is like one of like the crazy rich. That's like where the crazy rich people go. Yeah. So like, I feel like not everybody could just like walk on that pier and get access to like just whatever they want to have access to. Like that's a bit sketchy. And then they got to like go up and be like, "Hey, Captain, can I come aboard? Hey, Captain McGregor, Captain McGregor, hello, may I come aboard and collect your pee?" What, dude?
Yeah, like, who are these people? How do they find these people? Like, if they're showing up on Conor McGregor's yacht, where else are they showing up for other fighters?
Hide your kids. Like, hide your wife, bro. That's what this is about.
You're in line at the bank one day, and, like, you get up to the teller, and all of a sudden, this guy in a black suit pops up, and he's like, "Surprise! Go pee in this cup!" It's like, I'm just here trying to cash my check.
You're, like, at your grandma's house, like, you know, using the bathroom, and like they just like pop up in the window. No. They pop out of the shower like, "Ha, gotcha."
Yeah.
Oh man,
like,
dude.
How are they finding, like, how did they find Conor McGregor? How did they know he was gonna be in Monaco on his yacht at that particular day and time to show up and bring testing supplies?
Man, that's weird. I don't get it.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, his post was literally like, "Okay, this is how we're gonna do this. Okay, I guess I should find his post just to read it." But
I got a little bit more news though. While you're looking at that, Bellator MMA announces move from Paramount Network to CBS, guys. So, if you got CBS, you got CBS Sports, you know, that's where you'll be watching them from now on. The prelims will now air on CBSSports.com as well as YouTube, which is pretty cool. One of the good things about this is that it's going to be airing real time everywhere now versus staggered, because before it was like West Coast got their, you know, got to see the fights after the East Coast, which is pretty weird. One of the downsides is they won't be available in as many houses. So before they were in 80 million houses with Paramount, now they're only going to be in 61 million with CBS. So that's a bit of a downer. But, you know, if you guys want to go check them out on CBS, they're going to air their first fight card October 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be Paul Daly and Derek Anderson leading that card. There's another fight October 10th from Paris. It's actually one of the first MMA events from Paris. Bellator somehow got that worked out. It's going to be Sheik Kondo versus Tim Johnson. And then October 15th, Chris Cyborg. She's back. Ooh. Versus Arlene Blancao.
So to be clear, this is just the prelims, right?
What do you mean?
You said the prelims are going to air on CBSSports.com, but you still have to pay for the main event, I'm sure.
Well, if you have CBS, I think it's going to air on CBS. I don't think you have to pay for it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You know, I actually didn't look at that. So
I'll have to check into that.
Yeah, I'll have to check into that. Yeah, good question. All right.
You know, honestly, I had no idea they were airing Bellator on Paramount Network.
To be honest, I didn't either. I just watched like the fight recaps on YouTube. That's it.
Yeah. That's exciting though, man. I'm excited to see. I mean, Czech Congo has been around forever.
Yeah, man.
And I'm excited to see Chris Cyborg fight. She's the title holder right now in Bellator, I believe.
I wouldn't doubt it, but I don't actually
know. I think she is. So just to cut back to that last story real quick, I found that post from Conor McGregor. I don't know if you can see it. Let's see if I can get the camera to do its thing here. It typically doesn't. So what you're seeing on the screen here is a bunch of boxes and plastic containers sitting on like a wooden table on Conor McGregor's yacht. It's a screenshot of a tweet from him. It says, "What's going on here, UFC? USADA just arrived to my yacht this morning for testing. I've retired, guys, but go on then. I'll allow them to test me. It's all natural here, baby, forever and always. God bless."
Wow. That's crazy.
So, like, I mean, like, he's legit on a yacht and with like these packaged testing supplies. It's hilarious.
Do they have the right to? That's like so weird. They don't really have the right to test him.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Or just like, or follow you around. Like, that's like stalker stuff.
Dude.
Maybe they put it, like, do they put a chip in him or something? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Don't ever lose him. He makes so much money for us. I got one little interesting thing to talk about, actually. Insane weight cutting, guys. Everybody probably knows a little bit about weight cutting, but Paulo Costa cuts usually 25 pounds during fight week. I didn't realize this. He usually, this is like normal for him. 25 pounds during fight week. He walks around between 205 and 220, but fights at 185. What I mean is he weighs in at 185, but they say that like his last fight, when he was in the ring, he weighed 213.
Oh my gosh.
That's insane, dude.
How do you gain that much weight back?
That's 30
in one day.
Dude, that's 30 pounds. So that's pretty crazy. That makes this fight coming up with Israel a little bit more interesting because of how freaking big he is.
He's huge.
Speaking of Israel, he responded to that crazy funny video that Costa let out where he's running around chasing the Ronasania around. Israel says, I'm just enjoying poking the bear as he wallows away in his own effing piece of shite. Let him do him, and I'm going to keep doing me. I'm not bothered. I don't know, man. Kind of sounds like he's a little bit
bothered. I think he's bothered. I really do.
Yeah, I think he's a little bothered. I don't know, man. I feel like Costa might be winning that mental war right now.
I agree. I'm so excited for this fight. I can't wait.
Yeah, I feel like Israel should have let, like, he should have done his own video. They could have had a video. They could have had a video off or something, you know?
That'd be awesome. I hope they play those videos like leading up to the, like, that's the hype, part of the hype video before the fighters come out.
Oh, dude, I'm sure people will play it. Nice. Yeah. I don't want to. I'm not going to do it.
Do it. Do it. Just do it. Just do it.
So, if you like watching UFC, then you probably have a TV. And if you have a TV, then, well, you probably like technology. Let's talk about tech.
Boom. Psh.
And there's so much fun things happening in the world of tech today, and we got some for you coming right now.
Yes, sir. You probably didn't even realize we transitioned there. It was so smooth. We just moved right into the section. You guys didn't even notice it.
You probably had no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, we got some interesting news. A lot of hardware news this week, actually, which I was actually surprised at. At first, I was like, this is kind of a quiet week, but the more I dig into it, I'm like, there are some things that are interesting and also questionable. So I want to start with a questionable one. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
There was an announcement from Bose a few days ago. They announced 3 pairs of sunglasses with speakers in them.
Ooh, okay.
So they did this back in 2018. It's not the first time they've done this, but they've got 3 new pairs. I really wish I would have pulled an image of this, but the new pairs are called Tempo, Tenor, and Soprano. Soprano? I don't know how you pronounce that.
Okay.
So the Tenor and the Soprano are more like casual, fashion based. You know, they look like your typical big lens glasses, all nice and fancy looking. And the Tempo is more sports focused. I don't think I'd ever wear the Tempo based on the images I've looked at. It's kind of got that like polarized looking lens, like the red and orange looking lens.
The real
lens.
Like sporty, crazy looking. Like you're riding
like
on a motorcycle.
Streamlined, like it's supposed to be like aerodynamic, but how much aerodynamics do you really need with a pair of sunglasses?
Makes me go 1 mile per hour faster while I'm walking.
Yeah, so fast, blazing. So the Tenor and the Soprano, which are the more fashion focused ones, have 16 millimeter speakers built into the stems of the sunglasses. So the parts that go above your ear actually have speakers built into them. They're pretty chunky looking. Like if you look at the images of them, they're pretty thick.
Yeah.
Right there. A lot thicker than what you would imagine with like a normal pair of sunglasses. And the speakers kind of pointing directly at your ears. There's nothing attached to them that actually pulls out and goes into your ear. It's just a floating speaker there. So 16 millimeter drivers, the battery that's built in can last 5.5 hours on a charge, rated at 5.5 hours, of course. Normal use, you might get less. And it's got a custom connector, a proprietary connector to charge the devices. The Tempo, on the other hand, which is the more sports focused, this seems to be the more quality premium model, has 22 millimeter drivers, so bigger speakers, and a larger battery that can last up to 8 hours. And this also charges via USB-C. So, you know, compatible with some chargers you probably have laying around in your house. All 3 of them retail for $250 each. So okay. It seems like a stupid idea not to buy the Tempo unless you just hate the way they look, which I do. But the whole idea with the Tempo is for like bikers and cyclists. It did say something about the speakers should be loud enough to hear your music at up to, I think it was 22 or 25 miles an hour. So you got a lot of wind rushing past your ears, but you can still hear your music, which is cool. So $250. Here's where I'm curious your thoughts. You're dropping $250 on a pair of sunglasses with speakers in them, where you could just wear a normal pair of sunglasses along with some headphones and probably come in way less than $250. Would you ever be a buyer? Would you ever be a consumer of this product?
Yeah, this one's not for me. I don't see myself doing this. Well, first off, I mean, I wear glasses already. Even if I didn't, I mean, if I had speakers built into my glasses, I don't know. I just feel like they would be clunky. They would probably hurt my ears. I feel like I might get a headache for the extra weight sitting on my ears. Like, none of it really sounds appealing to me. And then I don't really want other people to be like hearing what I'm listening to. And like, if I'm sitting in a subway or something and I'm listening to my music, like I'm probably annoying like everybody around me, and I don't want that negativity. So
you don't care about those people.
I don't care about nobody but me. I'm number one. Yeah, no, man. I care a little bit. I don't want people to be annoyed. That's all that negative energy would just be deafening. I don't think I would like that.
Yeah, for sure. For instance, today, sitting here at this desk in this very same spot, I blasted an entire album of Cypress Hill, Black Sunday. So I'm just picturing myself on the subway. I've got my Bose speaker. I've got the stupid looking sports glasses on. Number one, if you're not in the sun, but you want to listen to your music on the subway, you got to put sunglasses on like a dummy.
Yeah, dude, okay? I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
that's just dumb. And then I'm sitting there beside people who are, you know, questionably a lot more hardcore than I am. But I'm listening to Cypress Hill, Black Sunday. And here is something you can't understand. Oh, wait, no, that's Rage Against the Machine. How I Could Just Kill a Man. Or Cypress Hill talking about hits from the bong. Or I Want to Get High.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, just people sitting beside me, like, looking at me like, who's this guy? I think he is.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's I don't know. I feel like they're probably marketing towards like people that are like, I don't know. People that just want to go for like gingerly walks through the park or something while listening to music.
Like listening to NPR radio or something.
Yeah, you're not going to be like sitting out at a restaurant like outside listening to music, are you?
It's a weird concept. I mean, obviously if they did it back in 2018, they're doing three more now. They must have sold enough of them to like justify their investment, but I just can't understand. I don't know why I can't just wear my Ray-Bans or you wear your prescription lenses and put some headphones in.
Imagine going to a party where everybody had these and they were all playing their own music and nobody could hear anything, and it was just all just garbage noise everywhere. Like,
yeah exactly.
That's weird.
I think this is going back to one of our first episodes. We talked about Apple Glass. And if you're using prescription lenses and you have actual smart functionality within the stems of your glasses, and you can talk to your glasses and get information from them, I can see a use case there. So I didn't read anything about them having like Google Assistant built in or some sort of proprietary Bose smart assistant. If that was the case, I can kind of get behind this. But just simply listening to music while you have your sunglasses on seems like a very niche opportunity. But regardless, you guys let us know in the comments. Would you ever wear a pair of $250 sunglass speakers on your face in the subway so people think you're weird?
I also think it's probably just a thing where people could be like, hey, look what I got, you know?
True.
One of those kind of things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good point. All right, so something that people don't have the option of wearing, and it doesn't matter what you care about or what you feel like, the NFL, I mentioned earlier in the show, the first game of the season was last night, Thursday, the Houston Texans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And one thing that I noticed and that they talked about very briefly, and this was announced actually earlier this year, but just kind of noticed it, is that everyone on the staff for these NFL teams is being required to wear contact tracing wristbands, even during games. So during practice, during games, they're required to wear these contact tracing wristbands that are made by Kinexon, K-I-N-E-X-O-N. They're called Kinexon Safe Zone tags. So it's, you know, I noticed the coaches wearing them on their wrist, but people can also wear them as like part of a lanyard around your neck. And so what it essentially does, as you might expect, is it basically, you know, you can program it to do different things, but it can alert users who are wearing the device if you're too close to somebody else. Like, I guess maybe it buzzes on your wrist or beeps or something and says, hey, 6 feet, dog, back up. It'd be cool if you could have like a voiceover from it, but
just like that.
Yeah, exactly. But more importantly than that, if you actually end up being diagnosed with coronavirus, with COVID-19, the data has been downloaded to the cloud. Every single day the data is downloaded. And they can go back and say, okay, which devices was this particular device near, within 6 feet, for which period of time? and they can then go and, you know, test those players or those staff members, or at least advise them to quarantine themselves, things like that. So really the goal here is just to prevent the spread or mass spread of the virus amongst the NFL. It's about the size of an Apple AirPods case. I've got one of those right here. So you can see it's about the size of this sitting on top of your wrist. So it's not that obnoxious. It's not too bad when I saw it on TV last night. And each device has a unique ID. So it's not assigned to a specific person. So if you're concerned about privacy, it actually, you know, it doesn't have your name associated with it. It's actually just a unique ID, which they can then later use if they have to figure out who needs to be quarantined. But I just thought that was interesting that they were employing a technology like that amongst that organization. But we'll see as the season progresses how effective that actually is.
Yeah, man. That's a good idea, I think. Kind of weird that they're making everybody wear them, but I think it makes sense. If it works, great. But I feel like it's like, you've been close to everybody. We just got to test everybody now, you know?
Shut down the NFL.
Shut it down. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that, I guess. But I'm interested to see, like, so they're using it while they're playing as well?
I couldn't gather if the players are actually wearing this during the games, but it did say that they could wear them during practice and put them inside of their gear. So you can put it in, you know, maybe like under a shoulder pad or, I don't know, in your pocket or something. I'm not really sure how durable the device actually is, but it said you could put it inside of equipment, you know? So again, not sure. I highly doubt they're using it during a game, but it could be possible. I mean, I guess you might want to, because if Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs has been in close contact with whoever is, you know, running over top of him every single play on the other team, and Patrick Mahomes comes down with COVID-19, then they want to know how many people tackled him in this game. Could they have been exposed? Things like that. So I could see the use case, I guess, for them wearing it. I just don't know where you'd put it. Because if you land on something like that, no matter where it's at, it's not going to feel good.
New defensive strategies. You'll never get sacked again.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't sack Patrick Mahomes. He's got COVID.
That's what I told. I was talking to my team today on, you know, during work, and I was like, they should have just made all of NFL flag football for the whole season.
Oh, dude, that'd be so funny.
Professional flag football. That'd be so awesome.
Oh, man. All right, so we got some more tech news. Gateway, everybody remembers the black and white cow box, right? You remember that?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, so vividly.
Good old. It was like so weird when I was young. I saw a Gateway box. I was like, Mom, what's that? Oh, it's Gateway. It's a computer. Oh, okay. I don't know what that means. Anyway, so guys, they're coming back to the PC market after 5 years. They got 11 different options, but it's exclusive with Walmart. Walmart's got a good deal going here. They said, give us a computer. We'll call it Gateway. Everybody's going to want it. Walmart.
Everyone wants it.
Everybody's going to want this just for the box. They don't even want the computer. They just want the box.
Nostalgia, man.
Yeah, nostalgia. So it's going to be powered by Intel processors and AMD Ryzen mobile processors with Radeon graphics cards. They have an ultra slim series starting at $199.99 up to $649.99. So, dude, $200. Are you kidding me? $200 for a laptop? Bro, this thing's probably going to move slower than a snail. It's literally going to be like Gateway from like 1999. Like, that's what you're getting. It's just going to be in a compact form now.
Yeah.
It's going to have the same dial. You can't even use internet. Like, it's dial-up. You have to dial-up. Anyway, so they also have a creator series with two laptops that are priced at around $900 and $1,200. The 900 version has an AMD Ryzen 5 4600H processor with 8 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigabytes of storage, and an NVIDIA 1650 GTX. And also, they have the $1,200 version. The only thing that changes is an Intel i5 processor with a 2060 RTX. In my personal opinion, I would not buy these because I think that that is overpriced for what you're getting. If you're only getting 8 gigabytes and you're only getting like 250 gigabytes of storage, and it's probably hard drive because they would have said SSD if it was SSD, and you have an older processor and you have a very old graphics card in the 1650, for $900, dude, that's...
It's pretty steep.
It's pretty steep, man. You could spend, you know, close to half that and get that kind of stuff in a desktop. So that's not something that I would do. And they're claiming that it's the fastest or the best. It's the best for coding laptops out there. And I mean, personally, I laughed because I know that it's just a marketing scheme trying to get young, dumb people to buy them or people that just aren't aware. But like, guys, if you want a good computer, then you don't want this. If you want a cheap, easy to get computer, then that's probably why you would want a Gateway. But in my opinion, they're overpriced by about $200.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wonder what generation the i5 is for that $1,200 model. I mean, like, you know, is it the, like, what are they up to now? Like the 9 series or something like that? 9th gen?
I think you're right about that.
I can't remember, but yeah. I mean, the ray tracing is interesting. 2060 is interesting, but still, why are they branding it a creator series why do you need a ray tracing GPU for a creator series? That doesn't make any sense.
No, you don't. You don't. It's a marketing scheme to,
it really,
you know,
is.
People that don't actually know. Well, first off, people that are actually buying like pre-built computers from Walmart certainly don't know what they're buying, right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's what they're doing. But
well,
you know,
welcome back, Gateway. Good luck to you guys.
Yeah, good luck, Gateway. Anyway, Apple, we got a little bit of Apple news. Apple gives Stadia and xCloud the green light to run on iOS. Apple has issued revised App Store guidelines allowing streaming services such as Google Stadia, Microsoft's xCloud, NVIDIA's GeForce Now, and Facebook Gaming to run on iOS devices. Pretty cool, right?
I'm surprised, honestly, to hear this. When you put this in, I'm like, what? That's kind of shocking.
Apple's going to let some other company like do well on their platform? No.
Yeah.
No, no way. But there's a catch. You have to download each and every single one of those games through the Apple Play Store.
Okay.
Okay. Got it. All right. Makes sense. I get it now. Well, it doesn't really make sense, actually, because the reason why people are using these services is so that they don't have to download the games, and certainly so that they don't have to have good graphics. But I mean, usually iPhones have decent enough graphics to play games, so that's fine. But it's like having to download the game. That's one of the main reasons why you use Stadia. You don't have enough storage. You don't have enough hardware to support it. And then I also read that with Apple Arcade, you also have to download each game too. So like they're even doing it with. I think it's just something that, you know, they have to do. That's how it's coded, probably, because that's how Apple Arcade works. But yeah, man. So you could get good graphics streamed to your phone.
I don't understand why that needs to happen. Like, to be clear, I don't use any of these services: Google Stadia, GeForce Now, Facebook Gaming. But isn't the point that you can basically run it through like a browser? It's cloud gaming, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Essentially, you're running it through a browser.
Yeah, streaming service, whatever.
So why couldn't you just download a Google Stadia app and stream your games through the app instead of downloading the games to your device? That's the entire point.
Man, we should be paid the big bucks, dude. I don't know.
You're probably right. It probably has something to do with like the...
It's got to be the code in the iOS that prevents it from working.
Right.
Where you have to download the game. Like, you can't stream it. It's got to be downloaded, but you can use graphics. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they'd rather you use, like, the dedicated graphics performance from the device as opposed to the cloud
That doesn't make any sense.
That's not the point.
The whole point.
That's not the point, Apple.
It's not the point. We don't want to use the phone. We want to be able to just like link up to a streaming service and play whatever games are on that streaming service, whatever we want, and have those amazing graphics all over our eyeballs. And
right.
I'm a little befuddled. So I think I'll just move on at that point because I'm not solving any riddles.
No, we're not. We're not.
But if you're on a quest for riddles, then you might also like Oculus Quest 2.
Oh my gosh.
On a quest for riddles. That one came out, man. It just came out. There was like, anyway, I don't even know.
That was good.
Yeah. I don't even know.
I'm
where
proud
that...
of you for that one.
All right, cool. Good. Oculus Quest 2. We got some leaks and some updates. Very interesting. They're expected to announce the Oculus Quest 2 at Facebook Connect, previously known as Oculus Connect. Facebook Connect on September 16th, 22. I'll be... What did I say? 22? I wish. 2020. October 16th, 2020. And I'll be tuning in because I want to know for sure. And something interesting. Oculus Quest 1 was originally announced September 2018 and then released in the spring of 2019. So people are speculating that they're going to do something similar. They're going to have a similar timeline for the Oculus Quest 2, which I think is pretty cool. Some people think that they're going to announce it on September 16th and then release it the same day and just smack everybody in the face because they've been taking down the Oculus Quest off all of the different marketplaces. You can't really find it anymore. So I think that they've taken it down just so that they could, on the 16th, boom, you could buy it. That would be awesome, but, you know, we'll see. The Quest 1 released at just under $400, but there's some more speculation that they're going to be releasing the Quest 2 at $300 in order to reach more consumers, which I think would be freaking awesome, so that I could buy it and save myself some money. Some cool things about the Oculus Quest 2 that we found out looking at pictures and speculation. They've updated the camera placement. We're not 100% sure why they've updated the camera placement. We think it's to improve spatial and hand recognition, which I think would be great. The elastic straps have been added instead of the uncomfortable plastic straps that they used to have. So elastic will allow for better comfort, which has always been an issue with Oculus Quest. They've also updated the lens adjustment system, and people are thinking that it's probably going to have potential for additional preset options. So a lot of this is speculation. Some of it's leaks because we got to see what it looks like. It's white. It looks clean. It's got elastic straps. That's clear. The controllers look a little bit thicker. The buttons are a little bit different. We don't know the functionality yet. The cameras have been placed in different places. So there's a lot going on here. Something that consumers have been wanting for a long time now is better battery life, expandable storage, better graphics, lenses, and spatial, and better spatial and hand recognition. So, and tracking. So, I mean, we're kind of hoping that this new one delivers on it. I'm thinking I'm probably going to buy it.
That's exciting, man. I like the idea of the Quest, just the all-in-one, as opposed to needing your PC to power the graphics, power the display.
Yeah.
That would probably definitely be the way to go if I were to enter the VR world, which I'm kind of hesitant to do so, but I want to try yours out for sure. If you get a Quest, you damn well better bring that thing to my house. Let me try it out.
Dude, regardless of what I have at the time, next time I see you in person, man, boom, that's happening.
We're VR'd and up.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, this is exciting, man. It's cool to see this, you know, continue to evolve. And for a pretty, I mean, relatively low price point, you know, talking about what you're getting, like that's a relatively low price point if the rumors are correct.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. I'm excited to see what happens.
And
don't do it. Just don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, we're moving into our last segment of the show. That was a lot of tech news we just covered.
Yeah.
You guys let us know. Are you VR users? Are you excited about the Oculus Quest? Are you excited about Gateway returning to the market? Are you going to be a Gateway customer? You guys let us know. But for now, we're going to transition and talk about some video games to close out the show.
Yes. Be right back. Gaming grind. Here we are. You guys want to hear about some free games?
Let's do that, but let's breeze past it because let's be honest, these games are pretty lame.
They're pretty
trash.
Unless
you're like, unless you're into trains. I mean, if you are, not judging you. I know some guys that are like into trains and know models of trains, and they, yeah, like trains. So, anyways, Epic Games for free this week. Railway Empire is a $30 value. Essentially, it's a perfect game for anybody that's a train. I guess you call them
enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Essentially, it has realistic depictions of over 40 different trains. Sounds like a lot. It allows you to build a giant network of railways, railway stations, and attractions to stay ahead of the competition. Seems like a little bit of a competitive aspect to it. I'm not sure if it's PvP or if it's a PvE, but sounds interesting if that's something that's up your alley. $30 value, so for free, go ahead and grab that. And then also, if you're into narrative-based adventure games, Where the Water Tastes Like Wine is the name of a game. It's out now for free. It's a $20 value originally. Essentially, you wander across a Depression-era United States talking to strangers to hear their stories. So it's a kind of a click and read, listen to adventure sort of game. It's got a full cast of voice actors, so they've put some time into making sure the production quality is up there, not just a couple of random developers reading off lines of text on the screen to make the deadline. So that seems cool, but not really the game for me. I'll go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. You know, if you have a lot of time, and it's kind of like an alternative to reading a book. I feel like, you know, if you'd rather not read a book, you just rather get your stories from a game. That's kind of the option here.
You know, if I was younger and I didn't have the money to buy AAA games, I would love this, because when I was younger and I didn't have any money, you know, and I didn't buy games, I would just play like whatever was free at the time. Dude, if I was growing up during this era, this would be great. I'd be playing all these games.
True.
But you know, I'm not.
We're old.
We have money. We have jobs, lives, and stuff. We can buy video games.
Yay. That's right. All right. Well, moving on to some more hardware news. I told you guys it was going to be a hardware-packed week. We got a really, really big announcement. Wasn't sure to put it if we should put it in the video game segment or the tech news segment. And we're running short on time, so I'm going to kind of move through this pretty quickly. Xbox Series S has been announced as of this week. We already had the announcement for the Xbox Series S or X. But now we've got the Series S. So if you guys remember, the Xbox One S released a couple years ago, maybe about 4 years ago now. It literally stood for Slim, I believe. So the Series S is actually Xbox's smallest console to date. It doesn't feature a disc drive, so you can't use your Blu-rays in this. You can't put actual physical game discs in there. You're limited to downloading the games from the Xbox Marketplace to play them there. In that regard, it's got a 512 gigabyte SSD, but it supports up to a 1 terabyte external hard drive. So that's important, because a lot of these games, you know, downloading GTA to my computer is about 90 gigs. So you'll run through that 512 pretty fast if you download more than like 5 games. More hardware specifics. It supports an HDMI 2.1, and it pushes 1440p resolution at 60 frames per second. So not quite 4K. Can do 4K upscaling, but you're definitely going to lose some of those frames. So it depends on what you value the most. If you value frames over resolution, then you might want to run it at a lower resolution. But if you've got a 4K TV, you might want to upscale. Again, you can do up to 120 FPS, but it's not going to run. You can do up to 120 FPS. But it's not running that all the time. If you push at 120 FPS, you're probably going to go down to like 1080p resolution. So again, it's all about the trade-offs with this device. Interestingly, though, it's got DirectX ray tracing built in. So if you're not in the marketplace, if you're not in the, you know, the budget for buying a ray tracing GPU for your PC, you can honestly get this Xbox Series S for cheaper than you could buy a GPU for your computer and get ray tracing built in. It's got 4 times the processing power of Xbox One. And I've already mentioned the SSD that's built in with it. So what do you think about that, man? I know we talked about it a while ago. Like, what would take you, what would it take for you to move from PC to console? This is a pretty compelling story, I feel like, for something that's rumored to be about $300, I believe.
The ray tracing is very attractive, and, you know, a 500 gigabyte SSD, that's pretty cool. You know, for me to switch over, though, I mean, yeah, we're probably almost there. I think maybe 4K at 144 frames per second, and then, you know, a terabyte SSD, and then ray tracing also.
Yeah.
Which is way better than what I have in my computer, might I add, but
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, we're not even talking about Xbox Series X specs here. The right. Xbox Series X, I believe, I don't know that we have official prices. I think $499 is the estimated price. So for about $500, and the specs are going to be a lot better here. I did see the specs. I just didn't have them prepared for this show. But I'm interested in the Series S, honestly. I've got the Xbox One S sitting on my TV stand right now. I don't play it often at all. But for $300, this is very interesting to me to get that upgrade for DirectX ray tracing. And the bump in the frame rates for sure. And what makes it even more interesting to me is that they announced that Xbox All Access program is expanding to 12 more countries, which includes the United States, I do believe. And so essentially what that means is for $25 a month, you can get the Xbox Series S plus access to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which includes hundreds of games to play on your console and your PC, and hundreds of games to play from the cloud, and up to 60 games from EA Play. So, you know, that's a couple hundred games, including the hardware. So that $25 a month goes towards the hardware. They send you an Xbox, a brand new Xbox, plus a subscription to Xbox Game Pass to get a ton of games that you can download whenever you want. You're done playing it, you delete it, you download something else, done playing that, you delete it, you move on to something else. And if you've got a gaming PC that runs Windows, then you can download the same games on your PC as well. So $25 a month, that's a steal, in my opinion. And for $35 a month, you can do the exact same thing for the Series X as opposed to the Series S. So I'm very, very interested in this program.
Would you play that many video games, though?
Definitely not.
That's my only thing.
But even just like a payment plan to get the new hardware and have access to even a couple of games that I'm going to play. I mean, like, let's just think that there's three AAA titles that I want to play. You know, you got Call of Duty, the new Grand Theft Auto, whenever that comes out. You know, whatever, new EA Skate, if that ever comes out. That's you're looking at close to $200 in video games already.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think that you have a good point there, where if they're gonna give you the hardware, the first month you get the hardware and you get all those games for $25.
That's so good. Such a good deal.
I might do it.
Don't tell me. Don't tempt me.
I'll do it.
I got $25 in my pocket right now.
I got it, man. I'm covered. I'm good to go.
Yeah, so to round that story out, the pre-orders for both consoles start September 22nd. I'm not sure what the actual launch date is. It looks like it might be in November sometime. But pre-orders start September 22nd. Like I said, I'm tempted. So you guys let us know in the comments. Are you a customer? You guys tell us.
What happens if you like cancel and you don't give the console?
Those are some details I didn't find, honestly. I read through the press release. I mean, I'm sure they're out there somewhere. My wife and I were chatting about it. She's like, so do you own the console eventually? I'm assuming it's working like a phone plan where you pay off, you make enough payments, eventually you own the device. But I'm not sure how many payments that would be, considering your $25 is not going 100% to the hardware.
Yeah.
It's also, some of it's going to the games. What point do you own the hardware?
Yeah, and like, what's the collateral if you just like get it the first month and you're like, I'm not going to pay anymore for this. I have an Xbox now.
Good point. Maybe they require you to give them a credit card number so they can charge you the. I don't know. That's a good point.
We could go down a very dark path. Let's not.
So what you're saying is you're suggesting people steal the Xbox.
No, not at all. I'm just saying Xbox should, you know, cover their bases. I think maybe just make sure that doesn't happen.
For sure.
One last bit of news, guys. Star Citizen, free to play, free to fly for the next 2 weeks. Go check it out. New players can try 16 of the game's best ships for free. This is the game that was crowdfunded up to $300 million, dude. Whoa. Wow. If you haven't seen this game, guys, go check out some YouTube clips of it. It's pretty crazy because, like, you could be, like, on a space station where you can walk to, like, every part of that space station and then go outside the space station on, like, the planet and, like, go walk around the planet wherever you want. And then you go find your ship and then you actually, like, walk into your ship. And you can go sit at, like, the turret, or you can go get into, like, the driver's seat. And, like, it's, like, it's basically real life. That's all I got to say. For full details and the sign-up links, go to robertsspaceindustries.com, spelled just like it sounds, robertsspaceindustries.com.
Interesting. Is this similar to the game? What was that game that you were playing, you were streaming for a while?
No Man's Sky?
Yeah, is it similar to that? Like, you're exploring planets and ships and...
This is like if No Man's Sky had, like, $1 billion more. This is like if No Man's Sky had, like, tons of money backing it and, like, was, like, real-life graphics, not, like, cartoony graphics like you see.
I mean, I'm looking at the pictures of it right now, and it looks very, very nice.
Oh, dude, they spent so much time tailoring this game to be... extremely detailed. Like, basically, if you see something in the game, you can go up to it and there's probably something that you can do with it. It's crazy. It's a huge game too.
Wow, this looks cool, man.
Yeah,
hey, maybe I'll try it out in the next 2 weeks. How much does the game cost normally? Is it like a $60 game?
$1 million. I don't know, actually. No.
$1 billion.
I think it's actually still in like a beta phase, so you might have to spend. Okay. You probably have to spend. You know, you have to buy a founder's pack, and it's, you know, I don't know. It's probably like $60, but don't quote me on it. I got to go look.
Cool.
Sir.
Very nice. All right. Well, I think that takes us to the end of our show. Again, I don't have any shout outs this week. I do want to give a quick shout out to the Don't Forget About Us pod. They took a quick hiatus on their podcast because they had some family stuff going on. I shared their post today. They came back from their hiatus, released a new episode today. So make sure you go check them out. We'll leave a link to their show in the description. We've been chatting with them, you know, over the last few weeks and want to make sure we support them and coming back now that they've got the bandwidth to put out some new content. So make sure you check those guys out. That's kind of an off the whim shout out. But before we close out the show, just again, want to remind you guys to subscribe to our channel here on Twitch if you're watching live. We love interacting with you guys in the chat here, especially during our gameplay episodes and things like that. And if you're listening to us, you know, on YouTube, make sure you check us out on Spotify too. You can take us with you in the car, at work, at the gym, wherever you want to hear our beautiful, beautiful voices. You can do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever your favorite podcast player is. And then last but not least, make sure you tell a friend, anybody who's interested in UFC, technology news, craft beer, video games, or anything like that. Make sure you tell them about our show and then just interact with us, guys. We want to engage with you guys. We want to build an audience here. We love talking to you guys and hearing what you're interested in, things like that. So make sure you just stop by on Instagram or Twitter or our website and just say what's up. We're very friendly people. We love to chat, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Nice. Yeah, guys, we'll talk to you soon. Tune in next Tuesday for our weigh-ins spin-off series, and let us know your thoughts on the upcoming fight night that's happening tomorrow night.
Absolutely. So until then, guys, we'll see you in the next one.
Alrighty. Bye.
See ya.